At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Now we go.
We got the tea and a theory. We got the tea and a theory. We got the tea, what? And a theory. We got the tea and a theory.
Is this thing on? Ooh. Yes. Welcome to another episode of Tea and Theory. Where we spill the tea and back it up with the theory. I am your host, Cassandre.
And I'm Quenisha.
And so, wow, let's get into it. We're on episode 4.
Episode 4 already.
Wow. Guys, we've lived lives,
haven't
we?
We are trucking along.
Literally, hold my hand. Yes, we're like, I don't know, besties now. Like,
at this point, like, you know us.
You know, like, you're on the couch.
Exactly. You have been right here with us this whole time.
Yeah. But as always, you know, starting with a check-in.
Okay.
How are you?
Well, as you know, I had a really good day today.
I know!
So to share with you all, I got a really, really big scholarship. So I found out on Monday, and what's crazy is when I found out, I saw the email come through, and I was like, I applied to this last spring. I just know I'm getting rejected. I was like, this is a little email that's like, oh, we're so sorry. We're so glad you applied, but like, try again. But no, I clicked on it and it was like, congratulations. I said, huh?
As they should have.
I said, who? Me? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I had until October 1st to accept it. I accepted that same day. I was like, you know.
What am I supposed to be thinking about?
What am I supposed to be? Like, I'm not. I thought about it when I applied for this.
I thought about it.
Then there is no further thought that needs to be, because money?
Yeah.
Scholarships?
Yeah. Recognition?
Yes.
Like,
Girl, it's like, yes. Hate. So, this morning we had the award ceremony honoring the 6 of us that received this award, and Cass was there to support me.
Of course! Yes! Oh, so excited for you. That was so cool. No, yeah.
It was such a... So, it really has been such a good... Anything could happen that really, like, bring me down.
Yeah.
So, it really has been such a good day. And honestly, it's been such a good week because just having that news and just, like...
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just feel like I've been riding a high today.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm feeling good. I feel like, yeah, my day started off because I was there to, like, you know, celebrate you and watch you get your recognition. Yeah. So, that was really good. And I'm also still riding the way from, like, yesterday, getting, like... my assessment results.
Yes.
So for folks who don't, well, obviously you guys don't know, but like I got like an ADHD assessment and finally got my results back and like got some, it's not good news in the sense of like, oh, like you have a disorder, obviously, but it's good news in the sense that like I got some confirmation and some explanation for what I have been experiencing. And so I think I just feel really happy.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, there was a lot of like, there's something wrong with me, kind of, right?
Yeah.
And like, I feel like getting the diagnosis has been helpful because like, oh, it's not that I'm lazy or I don't want to do this, but it's more so like, this is what's been happening. And for me to have made it, and like last night I was like processing it some more and I actually cried because I was like, whoa, like my little brain has been pushing for like 27 years and has got me to my 5th year of my PhD program. Mm-hmm. And unmedicated, undiagnosed, and was doing its best. So like, as I was reading my report, I was like, oh, my little brain has been doing so much. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I feel really relieved. I feel really good. I don't know. I just been, yeah, feeling really great. But like starting off the morning, despite it being, but crack of dawn. Mind you, it was 9 a.m. But for me, it was like they asked me to get up every morning. I was like, I ain't
like
that.
I was like, ain't no
sun. Go. I was literally like, oh, God, how is everyone here? And people were like chipper and like,
right, like, come see my poster.
Girl. But no, it was really good. Like, it has been a good week. Like, I feel like God eaten. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't eat. Like,
because it's like, when we started this semester, when we started the podcast, could we have imagined that this would have been
exactly?
It's no. Like, could not have imagined that this was on the horizon.
What? Yeah, like that's so cute. And like thinking about like how far we've made it, like it's episode 4. It's
episode 4.
And like low key, we're at the part. So if you are not in a PhD program, like September, October is the time where things start. Whoa, you start fighting for your life. Yeah, no, like, you start, like, waking up and you're like, oh, I'm at war.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And that's not even talking about the state of the world. Hello?
Exactly. That is just, I'm trying to get through my class.
No, like, that's just like.
My research. My
it's like October, like, everyone in your life kind of lines up and it's like, hey, can I have $5? I'll punch you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh. Hmm.
Like, maybe could we not? And they're like, no, this isn't optional.
No, like, we're all here and we all want it at the same time.
Yeah.
So I feel like us experiencing joy despite that, yes, is so tea.
We're just, is.
Yeah. So it's really nice. It is fitting us.
It is. So I'm glad that we are finding these moments of joy. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, the world, it's the world. There's chaos out there. It's so special to be able to find those moments of joy, especially within this program, because it's easy to get like stuck.
Yeah.
In our little cycles and like, okay, I'm just going to put my head down. I'm going to do my work. Yeah. I'm going to do my research. I'm going to see my assessment. I'm going to go home. And my business.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
yeah.
A little turtle into my little shell. But like, it is something special to be able to find joy amidst the chaos.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Feeling good.
Yes.
Okay. So thinking about next segment.
Yeah.
We've lost another icon. Great.
We have. And it came as such a shock to me.
Yes.
When it happened, I wasn't ready. I wasn't expecting it. But also, you know, I'm just used to seeing like the announcements for when people pass. And that's not what happened.
No. Oh. Mm-hmm. It's kind of been weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so. Yeah. Yeah, so we are talking about the passing of Asada Shakur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she passed away on the 25th of September. And very much her passing was met, I'd say, from the media. I don't want to say from people because that's not the story. It's from the media, which is mainly silence.
Yeah.
Just not acknowledging who she was, who she, you know, really defined herself as, the work that she did.
Yeah.
Showcase, like, there were no tributes from our media sources. Mm-hmm. Like, I found out the news on TikTok.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was, it's weird finding out from, like, social media and not like official like news outlets. Like, I know like we've gotten to a point where we are kind of getting news from like different like Instagram and TikTok, but it's like, no, like no one is reporting on this. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. And it was even like to the point where like there were like government officials kind of trying to like police, people mourning Assata Shakur, which was funny because just earlier, I thought we were supposed to mourn everybody regardless of who they lived as.
Who they lived as, but
that's what y'all said.
Extend to Assata Shakur. Apparently.
That's what y'all said. But anyway, we are going to mourn and remember Assata Shakur for the force that she was. So can you give us a little bit of a rundown on who Assata was?
So Miss Assata Shakur, aside from her being the mother of Tupac Shakur, she was a part of the...
I think she was his grandmother.
Oh,
am I
wrong? I can be wrong. I know I could be wrong. It didn't feel like they up to me, but I'm okay with being wrong.
Bianca Shakur.
I'm probably wrong.
Godmother aunt.
Godmother and step aunt. Okay.
She's a close friend of Tupac's mother, of Fanny Shakur.
Okay, yes. I've heard these things I do know. Sometimes but yeah.
Things come together.
This is why we Google stuff.
Yeah, and we're not afraid to Google stuff.
And we are
we're not afraid to incorporate new knowledge.
Exactly, and I'm not afraid to say when I'm wrong. And I say something wrong. But yes, so Miss Assata Shakur, she was a part of the Black Liberation Army, and in her time was very much a big advocate for the liberation of Black people. She was associated with the Black Panther Party, but... Again, going back to aspect of liberation, it was something that was very important for her and how she thought about the work that she was doing and how she went about the work that she did. And if you are not aware of kind of why she was in Cuba, that is where she passed away. There was a traffic stop. Thank you. There was a traffic stop that had gone wrong, in which a member of the Black Liberation Army ended up being shot and killed, as well as a state trooper. And they decided that Assata Shakur is the one who dealt that final shot. That killed the state trooper. She's maintained her innocence throughout the entirety of this time. However, she was convicted of first degree murder. Which, if you are familiar, requires some form of premeditation. Which you can't plan to be stopped by. You can't plan a traffic stop. You don't know if they're going to stop. So some things don't add up, in my opinion. They do just be, and we have to think about times that this was happening in. Not that these times are feeling much different right now. But thinking about the times that these this was occurring in the '70s.
Yeah, it was May 2nd,
1973. So in the '70s, thinking about this is right after, and still like right after the civil rights movement, but still in where, you know, places are just now integrating. Race relations are not, they're not in a good place. And as was described, there were a lot of racial things that happened during her trial. So she ends up being convicted. She is sentenced to prison, goes to prison, but then she escapes. And pops up about 5 years later in Cuba. And honestly, kind of iconic to me.
It's so tea.
It's kind of iconic.
Like, now they put you in that room, and you was like, so I'm actually no longer there. I don't know if y'all...
I'm not staying here. Yeah, like, but...
And I was thinking about this, like, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall to that officer who went to her, like, her cell, and was like, this room ain't that big. She's like, so definitely not in here.
Where did she?
You know what? Was it like a cartoonish, like she like propped her pillows under the blanket and like they patted it and they were like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, that's so, like, I wish we could find, I don't know. Are there any, like, did she ever write about like here's, it was the setup. Because I know she has like an autobiography, which unfortunately I haven't read. Mm-hmm. But like,
I did read that they were saying that how the breakout happened mm-hmm. is members of the Black Liberation Army. Mm-hmm. They dressed up and posed as visitors. Mm-hmm. Guard hostage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, took a guard hostage. And they took one of the prison vans and they got her out that way.
Oh, so it wasn't like a
night moment.
Oh, hey, like
we're broad daylight.
Like it was like a Tuesday.
Yeah, I presented my ID. Yeah, yeah. I'd like to come visit this person, check my papers, take my candy.
Dang. Okay, work.
Yeah. So, and you know, popped up 5 years later in Cuba.
Yeah.
Had her own radio station while she was in Cuba.
That's so...
Broadcasting to the people because... And I love it because, again, we're going back to this fact that liberation was really what she stood for.
Yeah.
She made sure she was liberated outside of that prison. Yeah. And she got herself to somewhere where she would be able to live a free life.
Yeah.
As a free woman. Unfortunately, maybe not where she would have preferred to be.
Yeah.
But she still was able to live a free life, and the Cuban government did protect her.
Yeah, because, I mean, they requested many times, like, mm-hmm. get her back. And Cuba was like, no.
Actually not. So.
Like, she's kind of tea. We're keeping her.
We're keeping her. Yeah. That's your loss.
And it's also very unserious that, like, you're looking for a quote-unquote fugitive, and they're on the radio.
Girl, on the radio.
Like, y'all couldn't be the government. I couldn't be the government.
You pissed. Think about that, like,
tune in to like 102.3.
Hang on, you're fugitive.
Oh, that's so sick.
Oh, that's actually so sick. Like, I couldn't be the government. Like, I'd be sick to my stomach, fam. Like, girl.
Honestly, iconic. Like,
She's so iconic.
But yes, I have to read that biography.
Yeah.
I really do have to read her autobiography.
No, like, yeah. So, like, pause this episode. Mm-hmm. Wait until we'll come back from the future and uh-huh. we'll just kidding. Never mind. but she's looking kind of like in memoriam, but also like,
yeah,
icon of the week, low-key.
Yes, like she kind of fits into both,
yeah,
much because her life just was like she, yeah, just icon, mm-hmm.
yeah. And I think it's really cool to continue to do, to advocate mm-hmm. and to speak out in the ways that she was able to do,
yeah.
Kind of living in Cuba. But I think like that's so cool because she could have easily just went into hiding. But I think like you said, like that really goes to show like what she was about was, mm-hmm. you know, liberation,
yeah.
you know, staying connected to the people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. So rest in power, Assata Shakur.
Yeah. Power. And speaking of icon of the week. Mm-hmm. So this is a little bit of a good and a bad.
Okay.
So we have... So our icon of the week is it's a child.
Okay. So that is different.
Yeah. That it's an 11-year-old in Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
Well, I might be lying. In Lansing?
Oh, okay.
County? Michigan. There we go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so 11-year-old Sakir Everett, right? Mm-hmm. Went into school one day and... an unidentified student like brought in like a loaded gun to his middle school.
Oh, wow.
And apparently they're saying that the student pulled out the gun in the bathroom and like gave the son to secure. Mm-hmm. And so his mom, Sarita mm-hmm. McClurkin, basically said like, oh, like, my son has grown up like around mm-hmm. guns. He's been shooting with his grandfather,
yeah.
Hunting with his grandfather, so he's very knowledgeable about mm-hmm. guns. And so what happened when Sakir got that gun from his classmate mm-hmm. was that he disassembled the gun.
Oh. Okay.
Like, Devo.
Child, because the way, if I saw somebody with a gun,
yep,
I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah,
I'd be like, oh! can't disassemble, not nothing.
Girl. Right. And so he disassembled that loaded gun.
Yes.
And eventually administration became aware, right?
Uh-huh.
And so in a normal world, yeah, right? In an alternate reality where like things make sense.
Yeah.
He would be like given key to the city.
Yeah.
I don't know. He would get like a trip to Disney World.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, like they would have like a parade for him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we are not in that reality.
Okay.
Yeah. We're in the sucky reality, mm-hmm, right? Where he has been expelled from school.
I'm sorry.
For a year.
Expelled for a year. He disassembled the gun. Saved lives, countless lives.
Mm-hmm.
Protected the school, mm-hmm, himself, his peers, the teachers.
Right, right.
He did what many adults would not and could not do.
Because if I was in there.
Girl, I can't disassemble nothing. And what we've seen, some of these cops, they not running towards danger either.
So
11-year-old has done all this in his, he's been expelled.
Yeah.
From school.
And not like, oh, like sit at home, yeah, for like a week. No, like a year.
For a year. So he's losing a whole year,
yeah,
of his education.
Yeah.
Because he saved his school.
Yeah. And like, okay, unfortunately, because of the expulsion, he can't go to any other schools. Yeah. Okay, so I'm reading this article, yeah, and so when his mother asked him, like, why did you not immediately tell an adult about the gun? He said he was scared and he was never taught what to do in this situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's 11.
He's 11. That's a baby. That is a child.
So the reason why. So, like, after he took the gun apart, he, uh-huh, put it inside of a heater in the classroom,
yeah,
and threw the bullets in a garbage can, right? And so the administrators the district officials, issued a statement where they were like, after a thorough investigation, you know, the full account of the incident has not been reported and the statements appear to have been offered selectively to create a false narrative. So there's a lot of things missing out. But like, basically we are going to, uphold the decision that we made.
So we're doubling down.
Yes. And I'm confused because why are we holding an 11-year-old to this kind of standard where he has to like follow all these rules when most of the rules regarding school shootings have been duck under a desk?
Literally, that's what they tell us to do. They're like, either behind a desk or get out of sight of a window.
So which part of the training, like, is
run, go get a teacher?
Yeah. Or like, have y'all been giving training to kids about like what to do if they see like another student like with a gun in a bathroom at 11 years old? I feel like I'm missing so much. Like, and they talk about, oh, like, yeah, like, y'all missing so much information. Then give it to us.
Then what's the information that we're missing?
Give them.
Like, since you already talking,
give us the information.
Keep flapping your lips.
You said there's a false narrative. What's the right narrative?
What's the correct one?
You didn't give it to us.
So the false one's going to keep going if you don't say nothing else. But, babes, what else could you have to possibly...
The only narrative we have is that an 11-year-old was faced with a loaded gun and then or disassembled it and like saved everyone's lives. Like, girls,
the plot has been lost, tossed, and put in the sauce.
Girl, the plot is a comic book and someone has ate it.
At this point.
It's been digested.
It's gone.
It's gone. What are we talking about here? Right? And so at this point, hoping I'm a good lawyer.
Yes. Yes. And if they don't have the funds, there's somebody pro bono.
You got to, girls.
Yeah.
Because this is good money. Like,
yeah, look.
This is such good money. If I was a lawyer, I'd be rubbing my hands like Birdman. We is taking this to the highest. Okay, but okay. I just remember the climate that we're in.
Hold let's.
Yeah,
where we're at. Because if we take it up there,
yeah,
we yeah.
But at its core, our icon to care.
Yes.
Saved his like classmates literally and the adults in that school because we have no idea what that student with that loaded gun, and he saved his own life.
Exactly.
Right. And as we've seen in the past, especially being in Texas now, yeah. with like what happened with Uvalde, like what happens mm-hmm. when we do bring in like the appropriate authorities and what happens when we waste time.
Mm-hmm.
That young black boy did not waste no time.
He didn't waste
time. Immediately.
He said, oh, I've seen this before. I know what to do. I know a gun.
Scared and all. Because I know that was the reason why some people were saying that they couldn't go into no building.
Because imagine if they're saying that they can't go.
What do you think 11? This 11-year-old
is experiencing?
Prefrontal cortex is not even put together. He disassembled that gun.
And y'all want and him y'all to expelled have him. The forethought. To
where
I need to go tell it, babes.
Mind you, I'm shaking. I'm disassembled the gun and I'm shaking.
I don't know what to do now.
Girl, like, I'm catching my breath.
Child,
keeping up with Afrofuturism, honey, mm-hmm. in my reality,
yeah,
they have built a statue of him in his mm-hmm. school. And they have a parade where everyone kind of takes turns carrying him mm-hmm. on their shoulders. And they're giving him so many little friendly games and like, mm-hmm. he's got ice cream and they're rubbing his feet, but not too much because he's a child. Mm-hmm. And like, he's at like a water park and like Disney World was like,
yes,
girl, come on over, honey.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like he's on, you know, the Ellen show.
No, like for real. All the kids on the like, he's done just, less that have been on.
Yeah. He going through that little hallway and they
yeah.
Every that's Mufasa something.
Mufasa. That's crazy.
But something that makes sense. Because expelling an 11-year-old for doing what a lot of us can't do is crazy, honey.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping that, you know, I'm hoping the firefighters are going to his house and be like, good job, brother, and like giving him uppies. Or I don't know. Somebody gotta do something. Because this is actually like
it's
insane.
Actually crazy. And to imagine like your experience as an 11-year-old. Like you do this thing and then this is what happens. It's like I do something good.
Quenisha, I'm 27 and that boy would have pulled out that gun and I'd be like, oh,
girl, like, what am I supposed to? And he did what he needed to do. He did what
at
he
11 years
do
old.
At 11 years old. Guys. And he's being treated like a criminal.
Yes.
He's being treated like he brought the gun. Like, baby, he didn't even bring the gun. So I really do hope he is surrounded by support, surrounded by people that are caring for him, loving on him, and really supporting him during this time.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't even imagine any part of his experience right now.
Yeah, it's a shame. But I will say mama is upset and mama is not backing down. And mama, mm-hmm. as you should, behind your son.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Standing with you, brother.
Yes.
You ate that at 11 years old.
At 11.
Young boy. I said brother, but young man.
Young man.
Little
young
boy.
Child.
Young. Yeah. You
adolescent.
Brilliant. Like, you brilliant tween.
Yes.
Are you 11-year-olds tweens?
Hold on. Yeah. I saw this thing recently that was like teen is like 13 or something. Like
8
tween
to 12.
Like,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's a tween. Brilliant. Beautiful little tween. So proud of you for doing what you thought was best at that time.
Oh, yes.
At 11 years old. Guys, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. Mm. So you ate that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do we have? This is how y'all this week. I don't know.
Very much, you know, there's been a lot going on.
Mm.
It's been a little heavy out here.
Child.
I feel like every time we turn around,
is something,
is happening. Like left and right and right and left and up and down, like
east, west, southwest.
Girl, like it's day two of a shutdown.
Girl,
it's just every 2 seconds.
It's like since, oh my God, since January, I feel like I wake up to like the news of like, hey, so we've introduced the I hate you, and like put my foot in your mouth, mm-hmm. and like punch you in the throat.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Bill. Yeah. And I've been like, oh, great, I guess. Thanks.
You could have like, at this point, I did what I'm supposed to do.
Girl, there are...
I voted for the lady with
the... I voted for the lady.
I already did it, girl.
I'm like, come on.
He thinks it's the general. I voted for you.
I'm not gonna lie, girl. I did, like, with no questions asked, I voted for Tim.
I love Tim.
I'm sorry. He's so, like, Uncle Core.
Yes.
Like, he...
We could have been cackling.
We literally...
Giggling. But we over here crying every day.
That lady told him, people... It was like, I think she was like, oh, like, I'm going to give people, like, you know, to get their first home. I'm going to, she was basically like, literally, she was like, guys, like, I will, like, help you deliver your firstborn.
Yeah.
And people were like, remember that time we were locking up Black Man? I was like,
it's like,
which is crazy because remember DL Hughley was uh-huh. like, oh yeah, he came out, he was like, da-da. And then like during her campaign, he came out and he was like, sorry, my fault, da-da. Very public apology for that. But like, this was all what was going on while the super villains were charging up in the back.
Literally.
They were literally in a huddle going, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, uh-huh. kill him. Yeah. While we,
oh God, life has been.
Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like from the socio-political climate, girl, yeah. The economy. Mm-hmm. Y'all heard that stat last week. 300,000 Black women. Mm-hmm. Okay. The attacks on Black and POC communities, the LGBTQ+ communities, girl. The mass shootings.
Yeah.
There'd be like several mass shootings. There'll be like several mass shootings in one day. And it's kind of like, okay.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Now there's the government shutdown.
Yep.
There's the continued war on Gaza.
Yep.
Like, and I feel like I'm losing my, and I'm supposed to like wake up and like do my skincare.
Girl.
And like do yoga and like drink matcha and like pretend that like life is not atrocious.
Yes. And on top of all that, still go to class.
True.
Go to externship.
True.
Do your research.
Sure.
Apply for internship for you.
Sure.
And so we're supposed to be doing all of this.
Like we're all pretending like AI isn't just like slowly drinking all of our like drinkable water.
Child.
We supposed to pretend like AI is not poisoning communities, right?
Literally.
Like, you know what I mean?
Literally as we're speaking.
Gas is slowly but surely climbing up. I'm watching you. Like, I be going to get gas and I be like...
Oh, yeah. Like, when I passed by you an hour ago, this didn't say this. No, honestly, like, on the top of gas, every time I go to another state, I get such a, like, sticker shock. I forget how fortunate we are to be in Texas.
Girl, I went to California and I said... Girl, I said...
Girl, I get scared.
When I go home, I'm...
Yeah, no, because I'll be sitting there and I'm like, anytime I think about like, oh, it'd be nice to live somewhere else. And then I get outside of Texas and I see that gas. I'm like, this is why y'all got public transportation.
Bro.
This couldn't fly. Like, we couldn't pay.
Bro. I was like, I was in California live.
Girl.
Let me be quiet.
But
like, it's so much going on. Like, you'll see the price of, like, you'll be grocery shopping, and every week the groceries keep getting higher. And, oh my God, another thing with AI, the reason why our electric bill is so high is because of AI.
But mind you,
do you know
that ain't got nothing to do with this apartment that I'm paying my electricity for.
Because
I didn't put your data centers in here.
I didn't ask you to. I didn't even ask you to put up the data center. So y'all just put ChatGPT on my computer. So I didn't even ask you how to do that. You know what I mean?
I didn't. I don't like. I would have remembered that,
and I didn't. Mm. So yeah, and girl, the electric bill stuff is shocking me so bad because, like you said, this is a 1-bedroom apartment. This is my apartment. So I've been watching. Girl, it was so bad. I had to call them electrical people. Like, are y'all sure?
I need you to run this.
I literally told the lady, run it back. Are you sure?
And honestly, sometimes you do have to tell them to check the meter again.
Yeah.
My mama, when I was growing up, my
hello,
mama,
yeah.
Called them.
I know,
said,
that's right.
She said, I know y'all didn't check this meter. She go out there and look and she said, this ain't right. You come out here and check this meter.
Come and see.
And guess who come check the meter?
Come check the meter. I literally told that lady, like, this can't, like, guys, it's just me in this house.
It's just me.
It's just me. Like, it's not two of me. It's just me in this house.
It's just me.
And she was like, yeah, it's because, like, the price per wattage or watts is higher. And I said, oh, why? Like, I literally went, oh. So I'm going to start lighting candles in my crib.
You know, funny stuff. It ain't nothing to turn some lights off.
Girl,
like, I'm good for turning the light off in here. Me and my dog be in here chilling. Candles on, light off, TV on.
Yeah.
Snuggled up.
Yeah, like, enough's enough.
Enough's enough.
Like, I have a little lamp for if things get apocalyptic,
yes,
honey.
Yes.
Okay, so a sun, like a little
girl,
sun.
No.
I'm going to start walking around my crib just.
Same, I got a little lantern.
Because, whoa.
Girl, because the way this electricity is getting out of hand. So, yeah.
Yeah, but it'd be stuff like that. We losing, like, great, you know, members of our community. Like, this is crazy. And mind you, and then I'm just supposed to be, like, mentally sane.
I'm supposed to keep showing up and being fine.
How, and girls?
Exactly, how? Because I'm tired.
No, like,
hey, so tired.
Like, I'm wearing these glasses. And the bags under them? So, in conclusion, girl, we're tired, okay?
We're tired. And we know you tired. We know we're not the only one. I know you tired, too.
Yes. You know you're tired.
Yeah, it's okay to say it.
It's okay to... Look, you could even whisper it.
We ain't gonna tell.
We ain't gonna tell nobody, like, bro. But, like, we're tired.
We're tired.
And so today, we're going to talk a little bit about Black women resting.
I love it.
Okay.
You know, rest and self-care.
Hello.
Favorite.
I know that's your thing. I know you're literally, you're like,
I've been waiting. Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, like, what should we do? Like, what does Black women's rest look like? Mm-hmm. And so prior to us recording this, we asked y'all, you know, what do you want to know about, you know, resting, you know, and if you had any kind of tips, you know, to share it with your sisters. And we did get some comments, kind of questions. And so I know one person asked, how do I have time to rest and still get stuff done?
Ooh.
And someone else asked, how do I rest without feeling guilty about resting?
Okay.
One, such good questions.
They're such good questions. Because these are questions that we've asked ourselves at different points, too.
Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, especially being in, like, a PhD program at this time, like, how do I kind of make sense of wanting to rest while knowing that, like, I have a thesis to work on, or I have clinical notes to work on, or, like, oh my God, I need to run to see my client, or there, God forbid, there's, like, a crisis.
Exactly.
Right? And you still have to kind of maintain yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the rest comes in because, like, you have to keep yourself up so you can keep showing up and doing the work.
Exactly.
And so how do we do that?
How do we do that? So I know with me, when I think about, like, how do I find time to rest and still get stuff done, I live and die by my calendar. I'm a very planner. If it's not on my calendar, it's not happening, it's not getting done.
Yeah.
But in that same vein, I have my rest built in.
yeah.
to my calendar. So it's just as important to me as a meeting I have to go to, a client I have to see. Mm-hmm. My 8 hours of sleep is yeah. built in. My wind down time is yes. built in. My yoga, kickboxing, built in. Mm-hmm. So it I know that I'm going to get to these things in the morning. I have my morning routine. Yeah. I meditate. So being able to schedule stuff in for me yeah. has been so, so incredibly important.
Yeah.
I also think about in being able to still get stuff done is being okay with sometimes things aren't going to all get done, especially in our PhD program, mm-hmm. us doing what we do. Everything's not going to get done to this level of perfection.
Yes.
That we want.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to be okay with the fact that it's good enough.
Yeah. Okay.
It's good enough. And because really when you're chasing perfection, it's not something that you can ever achieve.
Right.
So even as much as we're like, oh, I could look over this one more time. I could look over this one more time. Sometimes it's okay to just be like, it's fine.
Yeah.
This is good enough.
Yeah.
I'm sending this to my advisor. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm sending this in. I'm submitting this to Canva. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Being okay with kind of letting go of some of those expectations because it frees you up.
Yeah.
Because you can spend all that extra time trying to perfect something.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like, I could take the time that I've allotted, work on it to the best of my ability, mm-hmm. you know, get it to a place where I'm like, this is good work.
Yeah.
Because PhDs, we do exceptional work.
Yeah.
So getting it to a place where I'm like, this is good work. And I'm okay with mm-hmm. stopping here and I'm done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely relate to that because I feel like I'm on the flip side where I'm mm-hmm. a little bit more disorganized, like mm-hmm. Organization and like schedules aren't really my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like what saves me a lot with that is I have values that I prioritize rest. Like for me,
yeah.
like I love the work that I do and I like to work. I don't mm-hmm. love working.
Yeah.
You know that person who was like, I don't dream of labor. Like I don't have a dream job. I don't dream of labor. That visionary, that Girl. Philosopher who said that.
Yes.
Exactly. So for me, I like to work and I'm good
uh-huh.
now. Okay. But I also very much value laying down.
Yes.
I value, you know, laying on the couch. I value playing my little Mario Kart, honey. I value watching a new series. Oh my God, I just ate a series on called Three Little Birds. Oh, it's so good. But it's like I value rest,
uh-huh.
and so I'll be like, this can wait.
Mm-hmm.
I'll come right back to you tomorrow. And things get done.
It gets done.
It will get done. And I feel like I'm very quick to be like, this is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Here you are.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and hang out with my friends now.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I feel like for me, finding time to like resting and getting stuff done is also about like understanding rest is not just about laying down.
Yes.
Rest, I feel like rest is a lot, is about like things that recharge you. It's literally mm-hmm. like putting yourself on a charger. And so if laying down and having naps is what like recharges you, that's your rest.
Yeah.
If you like to do skincare, if you like to work out,
mm-hmm.
if you like to like play video games, if you like to hang out with friends, go to mm-hmm. bar, like if you like to go to museums, like
yes.
things that recharge you. And so being able to figure out like what recharges you so that you can still get stuff done.
Because
mm-hmm. I feel so much better doing things like once I've had time to be like a person.
Yeah.
And then I can get back to like being a scholar or a worker.
Yeah.
Then when I'm just being a scholar and I'm myself like being very displeased, sitting at my computer
mm-hmm.
extra long and like there's nothing coming to my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that rest is so important for me to like keep going.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And that makes me think about, so when I took that week off last year,
mm-hmm.
for context, our third year is one of the busiest, one mm-hmm. of the hardest in the program. program. Coming into third year, we go throughout the summer seeing clients.
Yeah.
And so you don't really get a break. And I was also defending my thesis at the same time. So trying to finish that up during the summer, I'm seeing clients.
You're training for
that externship. You're training for that externship. You're not really getting a break. Doing the research too. They pay us pennies, so I can't just leave and go on vacation.
Yeah.
And so, and I really couldn't leave because I had clients too.
Yeah.
And so I'm exhausted. I came into third year just absolutely worn down. I was burnt out. And it was something I saw coming that whole time, but it was like, there's nothing I can do about this right now. I really just need time to sit and stop and just be. Yep. And I wasn't getting that. So honestly, it was around this time last year where I started to realize, I was like, I can't keep moving at this pace.
I can't
keep going. I have to stop. I have to take a week. Yeah. And so I started. So recognizing that, okay, I'm going to have to take a week off my hardest year. And there's going to be some mixed feelings about that because the space that we are in, it's like, you know, we have so many different responsibilities for so many different people at so many different times, you know, you have clients, so you got to make sure that they're taken care of. So I started making plans for making sure that my clients are going to be good, that they're prepared for me to take a week off, making sure that my work, that I can leave that week and not feel guilty about being gone. So I want to make sure that, okay, any work that I need to do, let me put, like, if it needs to be done during that week or before, let me go ahead and knock it out.
Yeah.
Let me get that done. Let me make sure that when I come back, I'm in a good space.
Yeah.
I was able to communicate to everybody that I need to communicate with, set up systems that I need to set up so that by the time, and I did this 3 weeks ahead.
Yeah.
So by the time I got to that week in October, I turned my email off. I was able to really put my phone on do not disturb. And I did whatever I needed and wanted to do that week.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most peaceful weeks I feel like I've ever, ever had because I was able to curate it.
Yeah.
And that way I was mindful about the fact that my body is not going to be able to make it.
Yeah.
I can't keep going. And like you, I prioritize rest. That is something that for me is before anything. When I came into this program, that was on the forefront of my mind. Like, I have to be able to rest. I have to be able to take time for myself because I worked myself so hard during my master's and I ended up with migraines.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can't, like, we're not going back.
Yeah.
And so when I noticed, like, okay, you're wore out. When I took those precautions and did everything I needed to do to make sure I could take that week, when I tell you I was making myself breakfast in the morning, I was having slow mornings, and I would get up that day and I'm like, what are we feeling today? Mm-hmm. Like, what do we need? And some days it was like, okay, I just want to stay on the couch today. Some days it was like, okay, we're going to go out on the balcony. We're going to read a little bit. Then maybe we'll go to yoga. Maybe somewhere, go like hang out.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, every day I really was able to make that decision for myself, and I was intentional about, like, I'm not gonna plan too much because I don't want to overdo it. But when I tell you I came back from that week absolutely recharged and ready to go, and I didn't feel guilty because I knew this was something that was important to me. If something happened to me, they're not gonna feel guilty.
No,
they are not gonna be worried about, like, pass out in class. They're not gonna,
like, people will express, you know, sorrow at that happening. We'll keep going. People will keep going to class. Clients will still be seen. Like,
Life continues to happen. And it's like, at what expense? And it's the expense to me.
Yeah.
It's the expense to my body and my mental health.
Yeah.
And once I was able to really, like, sit with that reality and come to that, like, conclusion, I think I stopped feeling guilty about taking time to myself, taking time for rest, taking time for self-care, because I was doing what I need to do to be able, in order to show up, because I love working with my clients, but I know I can't show up for them if I'm not okay. So I don't feel as guilty because it's like, I have to do this. Like, this isn't negotiable.
Yeah.
These are my non-negotiables. I have to be able to take care of myself so that, like, that scheduling in I was talking about, Those are my non-negotiables.
Yeah.
They don't get bumped. They don't get pulled out. Like, if somebody tries to schedule something over, baby, I can't go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I got plans.
Yeah.
I have something to do. And I don't care if it's just, oh, today's the day that I do my whole little face routine and I steam my face and I put my face mask on.
Yeah.
I have to do that.
Yeah. 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 I feel like people can sometimes think about, like, self-care as, like, I don't know, like, they diminish it so much. And I'm like, why? That's the whole thing that's keeping me going.
That's what really is what keeps you alive.
So, like, why would you not want me to take care of myself?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you want me to recharge myself?
So I can show up fully.
Yeah, because they'll be so quick to then, you know, once you start wearing down and, you know, when you start experiencing that burnout, no one actually, a lot of people really struggle with showing compassion to Black women who are burnt out, right? It then just becomes, well, why aren't you just doing this well? Or what happened? It seems like you're not able to do this and that. Yeah. Or it becomes like a critique of how you're showing up, but nobody is worried. Very tired or taking care of yourself, right? So to prevent yourself even getting to that point where you're not able to do your work effectively, you should be taking care of yourself.
You should be, and it should be a regular part of your routine, what you do. Self-care, and I think when people picture self-care, they think about self-care, we're picturing like the self-care gurus on like Instagram and TikTok and oh, come with me to like get this facial. Come on. And it's like these things that, at least for me, they're like little special things. Or like growing up, it wasn't like a part of our regular everyday. It's these special little things, but it's not focused on as much of how much self-care is supposed to be built in to your everyday. Like, what in your day is going to bring you peace to you when you get, what's going to get back home from work? What are these things that we're building in? And I think being able to shift that focus is really important, because when we think of self-care as something special, like feel like, okay, it's that important or like it needs to be prioritized.
Right. Rest is incredibly important. And I think it has a lot to do with sometimes maybe readjusting or reframing or rephrasing like your values surrounding rest and productivity and work, because we are so much more than that. And I think when I think about like, how do I rest without feeling guilty about resting? I start to think about like, one, the Nap Ministry by Trisha Hershey. And so she's a Black woman who has created like the Nap Ministry, right? And as funny as like that word is, it's really about like resting as a form of resistance. So they have like this rest is resistance framework. But Trisha Hershey is actually kind of someone who is like an artist, a community organizer. And so a lot of their work has been centered around like, how do we free ourselves from like the oppressive kind of capitalistic nature that of the society that we live in? And so she's created this kind of rest is resistance framework. And so one of her quotes is, rest is a form of resistance because it disrupts and pushes back against capitalism and white supremacy. Disrupt and push back against a system that views you as a machine. You are not a machine. You are a divine human being. We will rest. Right. And so I think that idea, because I think in a lot of my work, I've noticed that a lot of people do like value being productive. Right.
Yeah.
A lot of us put like who we are. We identify with our work. What does that mean for someone to ask you to put that identity down? Right. What does it mean for someone to tell you like, oh, all this hard work that you've put into creating something that you can be proud of? We're actually scratching that. And how terrifying that could be. But I think that getting into the idea that like, oh, like, I am so much more than the work that I create and the work that I do. There's so much more to me. Like, I'm someone with hobbies and I have interests and I have like community friends, mm-hmm. I have thoughts, and outside of like what I do for money,
yeah,
I am so much more. Mm-hmm. And I think starting to step into that is very powerful. Mm-hmm. And then also seeing yourself as someone who is worthy of mm-hmm. taking a break, who is worthy of mm-hmm. kind of stepping outside of just the work that you create, because you're so much more. Like Trish said, you're not a machine. You are a human. Right. And the crazy thing is like you, like robots keep going. Right. And mm-hmm. we aspire, some of us aspire to be them because they can keep going and persevering, mm-hmm. but, oh, don't MacBooks break down at one point?
At some
don't
point.
Don't AI, like, don't y'all know ChatGPT be down when you need the answers. You know what I mean? So like, exactly. even AI rests. So ooh. You should
and I,
rest. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? Ooh. So like,
exactly. Even AI rest. So, baby.
You might as well lay down.
You might as well.
You and might as well meet up with your friends for, like, a nice little drink.
Exactly. Because, to be honest, whenever you look back on these moments, mm-hmm. you're not going to always remember all the times you were sitting there just yeah. typing. But you will remember those moments with your friends.
Yeah.
You will remember those moments that you took to do something that brings you joy.
Bro, every time I get to hang out with my feet, like that's what's so fun. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it's just so enriching and fulfilling. And not to say that work can't be that, because we all have yes. different values. But in a world that has mm-hmm. asked for you to show up and do all this work and then lays you off in the hundreds of thousands.
Child.
You should. You might as well take that vacation.
You might as well take that vacation.
You might as well do that yoga class. You might as well do a mindfulness meditation.
Exactly.
You might as well paint your toenails and like have fun designs and go get your hair. Like, you might as well.
Exactly. Like, baby, breathe. Just let yourself
just breathe.
And something I wanted to bring up. A book that I've been reading, mm-hmm. Black Women's Yoga History, Memoirs of Inner Peace, mm-hmm. By Dr. Stephanie Y. Evans. So basically, this is a book that looks at the use of like yoga, meditation, and mindfulness mm-hmm. in the lives of women like Rosa Parks, the Delaney sisters, Tina Turner, and herself, like mm-hmm. gives her story. And as she is talking and exploring these different things, mm-hmm. we are really getting a peek into their lives about just how they have found rest.
Yeah.
How they have found peace. And like, literally, some of them are leading like civil rights movements mm-hmm. on the stage. Like, we are yeah. seeing them in these grand stages. But one thing that was just so important mm-hmm. is the breath.
Mm-hmm.
As when he is quoting Angel Kyoto Williams, who is a Zen priest, a social mm-hmm. justice activist, and author of the memoir, Being Black, Zen, and the Art of Living with Fearlessness and Grace. She quotes her here, and it says, "More than anything else we do, breathing comes completely naturally to us. It unifies our external physical selves with our internal selves. We close the gap between perception and action. We eliminate everything we can that separates us mm-hmm. from being completely aware of ourselves. In other words, we focus our attention on the most natural function of our bodies in order to get our wandering, thinking, noisy minds to stop running all over the place. In order to get the most natural state of our mind, we unify the body with the mind." So really going back to the fundamental aspect of the breath. And being able to just allow yourself even just a moment of breathing,
yeah.
just to breathe. Like, we think about, again, going back to robots. Robots can't breathe.
Yeah.
They may break down just like we do. But at the end of the day, they don't have this life force.
Mm-hmm.
The breath is a life force. And when you are not taking moments to breathe,
yeah.
are you living?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really allowing yourself to live in that time mm-hmm. is something I think about. And I think it's so important for us to take those moments to just breathe. Just let yourself breathe.
Yeah. And for anxiety girlies, It's okay. As someone who sometimes struggles to focus on their, you ever think about your breath too hard and start being like, anyways, but
start putting our breathing on manual.
No, literally, yeah. Right? Yeah. But yeah, and I think about that with like a lot of like mindfulness meditations mm-hmm. that I like to use. Which it's like focusing on your breath, and I feel like mm-hmm. it kind of resets me and kind of grounds me and reminds me that I am human, right? Mm-hmm. And it's something as simple as like a 5-minute mindfulness meditation that, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, kind of sets me down and like reminds me of my humanity, yeah. right? Like, sometimes we forget that, like, as we are going through life, like, our hearts are beating, our chests are like mm-hmm. taking in air and exhaling air, and like blood is pumping through our, you know yeah. what I mean? And I feel like being reminded of that during meditations is so, this is not a word, but humanifying.
Mm-hmm.
Humanifying.
Yeah.
Humanizing.
Humanizing. Oh,
you have to cut that out. Oh my God. But yes.
Humanizing. Okay. I promise I'm smart.
But like, no, it's literally so humanizing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just like this wonderful moment where you just get to just be with yourself.
Uh-huh.
And I think, and I saw this TikTok once that talked about how like in the Black community, sometimes we can't rest.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is in us trying to escape and avoid mm-hmm. the trauma or mm-hmm. the hurt, or you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so resting requires you to sometimes face that.
Yeah.
But like, if I'm like cleaning my apartment, or like I'm working on this, or like I'm at work, or I'm in a meeting, or I'm doing this and I'm doing that, I don't have to think about the hurt that I've been through or mm-hmm. the trauma that I've experienced, right? Like I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
And rest sometimes asks you to confront that.
Yeah.
There's nothing interrupting the fact that like you've been hurt.
Yeah.
Or that you're struggling mm-hmm. or that you're anxious or that you're depressed.
Yeah.
There's nothing to kind of be a barrier to that.
Mm-hmm.
But through that rest, we are allowed to then have the awareness, and then we can acknowledge, and then we can do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's to recognize our humanity, and a part of our humanity is our hurt.
Mm.
And in that is recognizing like, okay, we can do something about this hurt too,
mm-hmm.
and we can heal. And so I think that's really powerful as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I cannot compromise my rest.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, the work is great. I'm working is fun, great. Mm-hmm. But like resting and being a human is also very important to me.
Yes.
And I think one of the ways that I've been allowed to get there is through like womanism.
Mm.
And so when I think about resting without guilt, mm-hmm. not only do I think about the Net Ministry, I also think about womanism. And so for folks who may not be familiar, so womanism was coined by Alice Walker in 1983. And essentially it was a way to recognize like Black women who were feminists, but were feeling seen or represented mm-hmm. by like the ideologies of like feminism, which is sometimes, or was considered kind of white feminism, right? It spoke to the needs of white women, but what of Black women mm-hmm. and women of color, right? And so here comes womanism. And so in 1989, Brown defined womanism as a consciousness that incorporates racial, cultural, sexual, economic, and political consideration. And so with that, I feel like womanism has allowed for me to kind of have this consciousness, right? So I can mm-hmm. kind of understand how oppressive symptoms can impact my life due mm-hmm. to like, you know, all of these identities that I may hold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of helped me identify and kind of label the experiences of discrimination or like even just the symptoms of capitalism,
yeah,
right? And with that, I feel like I'm then able to place these things in like a larger context instead of being like feeling bad about myself.
Mm.
I can then kind of criticize the system that makes me feel bad or feel guilty for wanting rest, a very human thing.
A very human thing.
Because there, I don't think that it makes sense for us to exist in a world where folks are negotiating rest. Mm-hmm. Your iPhone got a charge. Why you can't charge? Your laptop has to charge.
Yeah.
Your car accepted. Needs gas.
That's very, nobody's questioning that. Like, nobody's going to question that.
No.
They're just going to be like, oh, yeah. Go charge your car. Get some gas.
Your house needs electricity. Like, all these things need power. They need to be charged. They need to be given. But you're not allowed to do that?
Exactly.
No. Mm-mm. Right. And I feel like we've arrived at a point in capitalism where people are like bragging about hustle mentality.
Girl.
And did you see that video of that white man talking about his day half so he gets more done?
No.
Oh, Lord. Girl. About some, you know, be on the podcast talk about some.
So by the time that it's noon for you, it's day two for me.
Please.
What?
Please.
What?
Hustle culture is something that it kills me. Like, literally, it kills
what?
Me. I absolutely hate it. I hate it with a passion. Please,
must
you don't know nothing
everything
about me.
Be a hustle?
Does everything have to be a baby? Can I not take a slow stroll? Can we not slow down? Like, does everything have to be like, okay, my 5-9 for my 9-5?
Is it every day? Like, even babe. Jesus, even God rested. It was the 7th day. He said,
"Look, it is time.
I did my biggest. Let me just
time to rest."
And here you go, talk about you splitting the day in half. So you have more days.
Like, what? Please,
if you don't put yourself on the charger, girl.
Yeah, look, charge yourself.
Charge. Literally, that's the episode. Charge yourself.
Go sit down.
Go sit. Well, you have to deal with the list.
Go sit down.
Go sit down.
Sit down.
And make sure it's for community, because y'all, because we like community real bad.
Babe,
right now.
Have
you talked to your neighbor recently?
And see, that's the problem. They in their own little bubble.
Hello?
They're in their own little bubble, so they not talking to nobody. They like, no, I ain't got time for community. I don't
mm-mm.
have time
I'll
for
have
other
time
people
for
because I have to do this so that I could do this so that I could do mm-hmm. this. The thing is you're not going to be able to do nothing efficiently and effectively mm-hmm. if you don't rest. So what mm-hmm. you're churning out, it's not of quality, babes.
Maybe the business gonna be without a CEO soon.
Child.
That's not funny. Sorry. That's not funny. But the business is about to be without a CEO. I don't know if you know.
Babes. Like, sit down. It's
you
okay.
You think you could keep running your life, running on 5 hours of sleep?
Girl.
You think that makes sense?
Girl.
Your please. Neurologist is shaking right now.
Child. Because I'm scared of you, baby. If you walking around in this world, driving around in this world, you won't be burning
on 5 hours. You're on the same highways as us.
Please, go to sleep.
Go to bed, girl. Go meet with a friend. Go play tennis.
Exactly. Like,
go play pickleball, girl.
Look, something. Let loose.
Go to a museum.
Babes, everything ain't about making money.
It's not all about winning.
And depriving yourself because you feel like that's going to get you closer to this financial goal that you have or this career goal. And again, goals are not bad.
No.
Wanting a certain career, wanting to make a certain, that's not necessarily bad.
No.
But there are ways to go about it. In which you can still care for yourself mm-hmm. and care for those around you.
Yeah.
And build community at the same time. The community doesn't have to be transactional.
Yeah.
It does not. We can just enjoy each other, be in each other's presence. And it doesn't always have to be a networking event.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to always be us going to a mixer to make business connections.
Yeah.
Babes, it's okay to sit and to rest and to just dilly-dally.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. When's the last time you've dillied
or
dallied? Babe. Like,
quickly.
I did last night, personally.
I love a good little dilly-dally.
I played tennis with a friend. Just wanted to make that clear. Because,
golly.
The implications there were...
But yes, a good go walk around.
When's the last time like you like breathed the air and like went
and just pause for a moment?
Yeah,
because you know I do that when in the mornings when it's getting a little bit cooler. I take my little yoga mat out to my balcony.
Yeah. Okay.
I sit down and I'm like, okay, this is nice. Might see a little bunny hop by.
Yeah.
And just enjoy the planes flying by.
When's the last time you've listened to like a really good playlist?
Yes.
Right? When's the last time you've listened
to danced.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
What's the last time you've listened to a fantastic podcast?
Wanted to share it with a friend.
Send it to somebody right now. No, yeah. Kidding. But no, seriously, like, yes. I think understanding that there is space for work, but there's also space for you to be a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And reminding yourself that, like, wow, okay, I understand the system that I live in, right? I understand that capitalism wants me to keep going, but capitalism who? She gonna beat you up?
Look.
Hello?
Look.
You know what I mean? Like, recognizing that's a... But seriously, right? Yeah. Like, thinking about the fact that, like, you are existing in this society that is demanding for you to, you know, work yourself to death. But consider the fact that working yourself to death, they will replace you. They will literally walk over your dead body and bring in the new person who will then also walk over your body. So they've walked over you once, and then two, and then three. The second person is doing it. So that's three people. Okay. Anyways, the point is, like, rest,
please.
Okay. And I also want to say, in a little bit of a acceptance and commitment therapy vibe, right? Feeling, experiencing guilt is okay.
Yeah,
it's an emotion, right? But biologically, emotions only last 90 seconds. Okay. Emotions come and they go. You are allowed to feel that guilt. You are allowed to then become aware and process that guilt and recognize that you don't have to stay with it.
You don't have to hold on to it.
You do not.
Mm-mm, you can let it go. That's the choice, right?
Yeah.
Like it sounds crazy, but we really do get to choose sometimes what we hold on to.
Yeah.
And if we don't want to hold on to guilt, we can practice letting it go.
Yes.
And it becomes easier over time.
Yes.
It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's not something that's going to happen the first time you try it.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where I still feel a little guilt slip in sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, I could be. And then it's like, girl, bye. And it gets easier to say girl, bye.
Yeah.
After a while, but it comes with that practice.
Yes.
Of being able to practice letting go.
Yes.
And saying, I'm not going to hold on to this guilt. I don't have to hold on to it for dear life.
Yeah.
It's okay that it popped up. I acknowledged it.
Mm-hmm.
Let it float on by.
Yeah. Because, we're not to be a therapist, but all our emotions are valid.
Yeah.
Right? But that doesn't mean that they then have to influence your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We get to feel guilt and we can go, well, that was a nice feeling.
Mm.
Gonna move on now.
Yep. Felt that.
Felt it.
Yep.
Processed it. Hey.
Did that, done that.
Let me go and meet up with a friend.
Exactly.
Let me go play pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever you like to do that recharges you. Like, I literally want y'all to hold on to that. Every night you put your phone on a charger, but you don't deserve to put yourself on the charger.
Mm. Yeah.
You gonna let Apple win over you?
Child, because your Apple getting to your phone getting to 100%, but you not.
Your phone done got to 100% and you still at 67. Girl, I wouldn't take, if I was you, I wouldn't take that.
Child,
if I was you, I wouldn't take that.
I would not take it. And I think this brought up another thing for me.
Yeah.
Is there sometimes we don't have opportunities to figure out what recharges us.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't know what recharges you, that may be another reason why we're not taking the opportunity.
Fair.
To recharge.
Yeah.
And that can be hard too, because we don't have these opportunities all the time to, like, okay, well, girl, what do you like to do?
Mm-hmm.
What hobbies do you have? What hobbies do you want to engage in? And if you don't know, the best thing to do is to just try stuff.
Go outside.
Girl,
do stuff.
Go outside, try stuff.
Yeah.
Go try painting. See if you're a little Picasso.
A little
Basquiat.
Yeah. Like, go shoot a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You might be the next Angel Reese
and you don't even know it.
Because you're sitting at home on your computer.
Exactly. You want to hiking? Maybe you like the outdoors, girl, but you've been inside on that computer.
Yes. What if you're, like, really into biking and you don't know?
You you don't know unless you try. I didn't know I liked paddleboarding until
I was like,
Cassie told me,
get on the paddleboard, girl.
And yeah, you, I can't swim, so apparently there's something to it.
See, just try it. Like, literally, no, but that's such a good point. Like, where do I start if I don't know rest? Like, I don't know what to do.
Like, I ain't met her, girl. Looking at it like Kiki Palmer. I'm sorry to this man.
I hate to say it. I hope I don't sound ridiculous. I don't know who this man is. I mean, he could be walking down the street. I wouldn't know a thing. Sorry to this man.
I don't know who that is. Get to know. Have you shook his hand?
Yeah.
Have you introduced yourself to Rex?
Oh.
Have you welcomed him into your home?
Mm.
Have you offered him a beverage?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, yeah, that's such a good point. Figure out what is restful. Because if you're sitting on, you know, TikTok, you follow what the girl's doing, and they doing skincare, you done did skincare, you was like, dang, they ain't doing nothing for me.
I feel more exhausted.
Yeah.
I got 50,000 products I done had to put on.
My face feels mad heavy.
Exactly. Like, try things. Date yourself.
Yeah,
we're always talking about dating other people, getting to know them, figuring out what their interests are.
Leave that mad.
What is your interest? What do you want to do? Go date yourself.
Go date yourself.
Go figure out what you like. Get to know you. Introduce yourself to Rest and introduce yourself to you.
Mm.
Who are you?
I wish I had a mic. Drop. Yeah, that was so tea. Girl, no, literally.
Yes.
And if it's helpful, it makes you such a more interesting person if you have hobbies.
It does. Because you have so many things to talk about.
Yeah. And then you're building community.
Because you're meeting people during your hobbies.
We're low-key giving you the keys to life.
And mind you, the podcast is free.
It's free. We might have to close the door. Usher, close the door.
Close the door.
I said, close them doors. Ushers, close the doors.
Because that's literally.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead and let Rest is knocking on your door, girl. Go ahead and open the door.
Yep.
Let Rest in. Mm-hmm. Kiki with her. You know, offer her a beverage. Get to know her.
Mm-hmm.
And then go ahead and, you know, let her out when she gone.
Yeah.
And then sit with yourself.
Yes. Sit with yourself. Mm. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Or vice versa. But you can do either one first.
You know, it really don't matter.
Yeah.
It really don't matter.
Just do it.
Yeah. Whoever shows up first.
Whoever knocks first, open the door.
Exactly.
Look in the people.
Please. We not trying to do sinners around here.
Yeah. Oh my God. Speaking of sinners, wow, it's October, divas.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm going to watch that movie.
I'm definitely going to have to do a little rewatch.
No, like, I'm rewatching bad.
It's time.
I'm actually kind of not rewatching, I'm reliving. I'm lip syncing.
She's quoting.
No, like I'm quoting.
I'm actually acting alongside.
Yeah, no, like I'm in the movie. Like I'm in the movie. Like, yeah. Herline. Yeah, like I'm in the movie. What you want with Miss Mo? Like I'm in the movie. So, oh my God, you know what part I've been thinking about randomly?
What?
When Annie goes, I don't want your money. Your money come with blood. I'm just saying that all the time. Because, don't nobody want money. Knowing me, I would have been like, thank you. That's why I'm not
here.
That's why I'm not Annie. But also, yeah, I'm alive. So, sorry. Oh. Love you, Annie. Let's move on. I love those characters, so she did not deserve that. My queen. Oh, come.
Yes.
Do you feel like you've said all you needed to say?
I have. What about you? Okay.
Oh my God, I haven't done an accent in so long.
She has not.
Damn.
She has not. You missed a couple episodes.
That's what I'm saying. Oh my God, guys. I'm sorry.
Mm.
Well, what's your tea? Can we help you with a theory? Send us your tea through our email, tntheory@gmail.com, and follow us on all our socials at tntheorypodcast. We can't wait to see ya.
Yeah.
And as always, Quenisha will end this episode with a brief meditation and some words of affirmation.
Yes, I will. And some all about rest.
Get ready. Are we sleeping?
So I'll invite everyone, as usual, to find what feels comfortable for you. That may be laying down. It may be sitting up with your feet flat on the ground, hands on your legs, or resting on your legs. If you feel comfortable, I'll invite you to close your eyes, or if you're not comfortable with that, just allow your gaze to soften as we begin to enter this moment of rest. So as you're settling in, allow yourself to take a few deep breaths as you're breathing in deeply, focusing on expanding your diaphragm or expanding your tummy on your inhales. And when you're exhaling, allow your tummy to push that air out. Falling into this rhythm now for yourself, of just taking these deep inhales and exhales in the spirit of rest. I really want us to really be present here, really taking notice of me. Feeling in this moment. And as we take notice, not changing it, not making an effort to change it, but just practicing, just noticing what's going on for you, what you're experiencing. Allow yourself to release control, release the need to fix or to do, or to change. Just allow yourself to settle in to who you are in this moment. Allow yourself to notice what is it that you're feeling in your hands? What is it that you're feeling in your chest? What are you feeling in your jaw? What might you be feeling in your toes? Just allow yourself to notice different points in your body that maybe you don't always pay attention to. And if you have any thoughts that pop up in this moment, that's okay. It's very normal. Allow yourself to just take note of those too and just let them float away. There's no need to catch on and grab them. Just let them keep going. Give yourself the gift of release. Give yourself the gift of just being able to notice something and letting it go. Everything that comes into our lives, everything that comes into our minds are not meant for us to hold on to, because they just weigh us down. Ease. Find that feeling of weightlessness by just allowing yourself to let go in this moment. So as we are slowly ending our practice, I do want to leave you with a few affirmations. Feel free to repeat them to yourself, to say them to yourself silently, or even to come back and write them down later. I deserve rest. I deserve rest. I am worth getting to know. I am worth getting to know. I choose peace. I choose peace. Allow those affirmations to really just sink in and wash over you, bringing your awareness back to your breath now. Slowly begin to wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes, and just bring yourself back into this present moment here with us on the couch. Again, we are so happy that you have joined us for yet another episode 4, if y'all can believe it. We are so excited that y'all are taking this journey with us and that y'all are along for the ride. I hope in today's ride you were able to find peace, rest, some self-care, maybe even get to know you a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And that you got in touch with your breath. So, until next time.